Well, good evening. God is good all the time. Well, I'm so glad that you're here. If you please open your Bible to the book of Psalm, chapter 46. The title of our sermon is Dealing with Uncertainty. If you please stand as we read God's word in the book of Psalm, chapter 46. And this is what the word of God says. God is our refuge and strength, a very present help in trouble. Therefore, we will not fear though the earth gives way, though the mountains be moved into the heart of the sea, though its waters roar and foam, though the mountains tremble at its swelling. Selah. There is a river whose streams make glad the city of God, the holy habitation of the Most High. God is in the midst of her, she shall not be moved. God will help her when morning dawns. The nations rage, the kingdoms totter, he utters his voice, the earth melts. The Lord of hosts is with us. The God of Jacob is our fortress. Selah. Come, behold the works of the Lord, how he has brought desolations on the earth. He makes war cease to the end of the earth. He breaks the bow and shatters the spear. He burns the chariots with fire. Be still and know that I am God. I will be exalted among the nations. I will be exalted in the earth. The Lord of hosts is with us. The God of Jacob is our fortress. Selah. What a great passage that I just want to encourage you with today. Church, God is your strength. He is your stronghold and he is your refuge in the day of trouble. Think about those three realities. That God is my strength. He is your strength. Matthew Henry once said, "It is a great comfort in a day of trouble that we have a God to go to." How do we anchor our souls when the waves of life threaten to undo us? When life becomes uncertain, what do you do? What do I do? When you find out you will no longer have a job, or to lose a child, to lose a parent, when world events like coronavirus, COVID-19, this pandemic threaten to change our lives, how do we handle it? Do we have a shelter for life's storms? Is God our refuge? Does he give us strength to stand? Or do we try and make it on your own? When your world is turned upside down, how do you respond? Do you respond with fear or with faith? In what circumstances do you feel powerless or helpless? Think about those times when you want to do something, anything to solve a problem or affect an outcome, but you can't. Because you know it's out of your control. How do you typically respond? Is your response helpful or counterproductive? What is the correlation between your typical response and your faith in God? Is he a refuge for his people? Or does he abandon us in difficult situations? Certainly not. The psalmist reflected on this very thing in Psalm 46. His psalm just discharges with confidence in God. It is in times of pain, it is in time of turmoil, whether light, moderate, or even severe, that it becomes especially important to remember that we relate to God as children to their father. A loving father does not demand agonizing misery before he will express heartfelt sympathy, but sympathizes with every pain and wipes away every tear. Church, our God is not some distant ruler exercising indifferent authority over the universe, but a present helper in our times of trouble. Our every time of trouble. He does not demand that we justify our pains before feeling them, or rationalize our tears before shedding them. He does not insist our trouble rise to a certain degree or extent before he becomes that refuge, before he becomes that strength in our lives. In your illness, in your pain, in your suffering, don't immediately compare yourself to others and don't feel the need to justify your sorrow before God. Don't stagger silently. Turn first to your Father, cry out to Him and receive His comfort, because He is there for you. He is at all times, in every situation, the Father of mercies and the God of all comfort. See, in times of trouble, you and I can count on God. So in the midst of what we are experiencing in our world today, you can count on God. Everyone has trouble, but God's people find God sufficient in time of trouble. I hope that's true about you today. That you, as a child of God, find Him sufficient in time of trouble. So that is the message that we have today. Seeing God, having this confidence of who God is when we are faced with trouble. Most people recognize this psalm as the basis for Martin Luther's hymn, "A Mighty Fortress is Our God." So if you please open your Bible to the book of 2 Chronicles chapter 32. In 2 Chronicles 32, you will see that this psalm to the time when King Hezekiah of Judah was surrounded by the army of Sennacherib, king of Assyria. 46 towns and villages in Judah had been sacked. Over 200,000 residents had been taken captive, along with much spoil. At least 185,000 troops surrounded Jerusalem, and it looked like only a matter of time before the city fell. But proud Sennacherib did not figure with the fact that Hezekiah's God is the living God who will not be mocked. So King Hezekiah prayed. God spoke in one night. The angel of the Lord defeated Sennacherib by killing 185,000 of his soldiers. So when you go home tonight, or when you listen to this message, open your Bible to 2 Kings 18 and 19. And also Isaiah chapter 36 and 37, you'll see the background of this ordeal. Psalm 46 was written out of the ordeal of extreme adversity from which God had provided deliverance. The emphasis in this psalm is on the presence of the Lord with His people, and the difference it makes when we trust Him in the changes and difficulties of life. The psalm focuses on the Lord and what He is to His trusting His people. It relates to anyone who is in a time of trouble, or to anyone who will face trouble, no matter how extreme in the future. It tells us that when trouble strikes, God is sufficient to get you through. No problem, whether it's emotional, physical, or even spiritual, is too big for our God. If we will learn to take refuge in Him and lean on Him alone for strength, then with the psalmist, we can face the most extreme crisis with quiet confidence. Because God is with us and He is more than sufficient. So the first thing I want us to look at is this. Number one, that God is our refuge, in verses 1, 2, and 3. God is our refuge. Turn with me to Psalm 18, verses 1 and 2. In the book of Psalm chapter 18, and this is what the Word of God says. I love You, O Lord, my strength. The Lord is my rock and my fortress and my deliverer. My God, my rock in whom I take refuge, my shield and the horn of my salvation, my stronghold. In Psalm 94, verse 22. But the Lord has become my stronghold and my God, the rock of my refuge. The word refuge means a shelter, hope, trust. It speaks of a place of safety. Trouble comes into all of our lives, but we can seek refuge in the Lord. He protects us in times of trouble. We're talking the God of the universe with all power, the omnipotent King over all. He is your strength. He is your stronghold. He is the one who surrounds you with His strength, with His promises, with His care. My beloved, you and I are safe and secure in Him. Especially if you're walking through trouble. If you're walking through trials in any way right now. Walking through suffering. You're being bombarded on different sides. Know this, that God is your refuge. God never leaves us alone. In the darkest moments of life, in the most challenging circumstances, God is with us. He is our strength. He is our stronghold and refuge for us. What an amazing reality. To know that you and I are not alone right now. Proverbs 18:10 reminds us this. The name of the Lord is a strong tower. The righteous run to it and are safe. This idea is expressed many times in the scripture. David always found refuge in the Lord when his enemies sought his life. Saul pursued David for many years, yet God always protected him. David knew that the Lord was watching over him. Finding refuge in God is a vital part of our relationship with Him. It is a dangerous, unpredictable, harsh world. We need somewhere or someone to flee to. Because we are hardwired to be refuge seekers, we cannot turn to someone or something. But here's the problem. Sin perverts this instinct. Instead of running as refugees to God, the only safe and sane place to turn, we run to countless false refugees or refuge. We run to addictions, pleasurable fantasies, success in some other area of life, new gadgets, or even toys. Any created thing that we turn to for protection and security instead of God becomes a false refuge. The question is, how do you actually find refuge in God in your situation? How do we do that? What I want to encourage you, church, is to talk to the Lord about what's pressing you. Get specific with Him. Be intentional. Let Him know. Is it your child's health? Is it your retirement plan? Or even the unidentified lump the doctor just found in your breast. Whatever it may be, it could be this pandemic that we find ourselves in today. Don't let the pressures of life remain vague and undefined. It's much easier to turn to God as a refuge when you know exactly what you're turning to Him with. My beloved, He is our refuge, and what comfort that brings. He is your refuge even when you are all alone. He is your refuge even when you awaken in the night filled with fear and cold sweat breaks out. He is your refuge. He is a very present help when events transpire that you and I cannot understand, like this COVID-19 or coronavirus. Church, He is your refuge. So let me challenge you that God is my refuge in fill in the blank. God is my refuge in ... So church, know this. Number one, that God is our refuge. Secondly, God is our strength. The word strength means power, might, boldness, to be mighty. Or strength empowers us in weakness. When trials and trouble come, our strength is drained from us. I mean, how many of you today, just this past week or this past few days, that your strength has been drained because of the situation that we find ourselves in our society because of this pandemic. Yet at these times, God is able to strengthen us and help us to stand. We only need to ask Him for strength. Our trials are not superficial or irrelevant. They are vehicles of grace that God uses to bring us growth. Superficial problems call for superficial solutions, but real life isn't like that. Its headaches and stresses go deeper, right down to the bone. They touch the nerve areas of our security. God's power is not dependent on our help. Remember, you are weak. The question is to you, church, have you felt that weakness lately? I'm sure with the uncertainties, with the things that we do not understand, with what's going on with this pandemic, we know we can run to God for strength. We can run to Him for knowing that He is our refuge. If you please open your Bible to the book of Isaiah chapter 40. Isaiah 40 verse 28. And this is what the Word of God says. Have you not known? Have you not heard? The Lord is the everlasting God, the creator of the ends of the earth. He does not faint or grow weary. His understanding is unsearchable. He gives power to the faint. And to him who has no might, he increases his strength. Even youth shall faint and be weary, and young men shall fall exhausted. But they who wait for the Lord, Yahweh, shall renew their strength. They shall not mount up with wings like eagles. They shall run and not be weary. They shall walk and not faint. It doesn't matter how strong or weak we are. We all need God's strength. Only He can sustain us in the trials of life. Turn with me to Psalm 73, verse 25. Whom have I in heaven but you? And there is nothing on earth that I desire besides you. My flesh and my heart may fail, but God is the strength of my heart and my portion forever. In 1 Samuel chapter 30 verse 6 tells us, now David was greatly distressed, for the people spoke of stoning him because the soul of all the people was grieved, every man for his sons and his daughters. But David strengthened himself in the Lord his God. When trials come, do we strengthen ourselves in the Lord like David did? Or do we try and make it in our own? Beloved, God is always ready to strengthen us. Maybe it's time to say, Lord, I love you. Though through your strength, I will not be moved. I will stop running. I will stop striving. I will not fear. I will hold on to you. I will count on you to build a tent around me and protect me from the blast. Do we strengthen ourselves in the Lord? The third provision that God gives to His people is help. The word help means to assist. God provides refuge and strength to His people, but He also helps us in our trials, in our difficulties, in our afflictions. What's more, He doesn't do this from a distance. He is right there with us to help us in our trials. Hebrews chapter 13 verses 5 and 6 says, Hebrews 13, for He Himself has said, I will never leave you nor forsake you. So we may boldly say, the Lord is my helper. I will not fear. What can man do to me? Church, what a promise that we have. God says that I will never leave you nor forsake you. God does not expect us to make it in our own. In fact, He knows that you and I can't. It's only our pride and fear that keeps us from seeking His help. Turn with me to Psalm 18 again, verse 2 and 3. The Lord is my rock and my fortress and my deliverer, my God and my rock in whom I take refuge, my shield and the horn of my salvation, my stronghold. I call upon the Lord who is worthy to be praised, and I am saved from my enemies. You see, David found the help that he needed from the Lord. The question is, do you run to the Lord when troubles come? Do you turn? Do you run to Him? Do you cry out to Him when you are in trouble? Let me encourage you that you should. Will you determine to seek God's help each day? Will you allow God to take control of the trials in your life? God is always waiting to answer your prayers. Turn your Bible to Psalm 34, verse 17 and 19. Psalm 34 says this in verse 17. When the righteous cry for help, the Lord hears and delivers them out of all their troubles. The Lord is near to the brokenhearted and saves the crushed in spirit. Church, Yahweh, our God is near to the brokenhearted. He hears our cry. He delivers all of our troubles, not just some, but all our troubles. He is a very present help in trouble. Literally, a very accessible help. One easy to be found. The term translated trouble in most versions of the Bible is from a Hebrew verb meaning to be restricted or to tie up or to be narrow or cramped. We refer to being in a jam or between a rock and a hard place. It means to be in a pinch or a tight squeeze. So the psalmist declares that God is immediately available, instantly present in any situation. Certainly at those times when we are weak, in light of God's provision, how should we respond to uncertainty? How should we respond to trials and conflict? If God is our refuge, if God is your refuge, if He is your strength and help, shouldn't we trust Him to take care of us? If calamity, not just even now, the calamities that you and I are faced with, hasn't God caused it or allowed it to happen? So therefore, we must respond in faith when turmoil comes into our lives. This is exactly what Job did when wave after wave of calamity broke upon him. He trusted in God's goodness. He knew that the Lord would not let him down. The psalmist said that even if the world was turned upside down, he knew that God would take care of him. Do you have that comfort? Do you have that confidence? Do you respond in faith when you are faced with turmoil in your lives? Church, we find ourselves today in this calamity, this coronavirus. God is our refuge. He is our strength. Look with me back in Psalm 46. And the psalmist says, I will not fear in the second and third verses. The psalmist introduces some of the most terrifying scenes in all of life. You see the word though before each of four calamities. The imperfect tense in Hebrew is often used to describe events that have not yet happened or to denote hypothetical situations. The psalmist pictures one of the most frightening and tragic natural disasters, an earthquake so severe that the mountains slip into the heart of the sea. So the psalmist is picturing a quake so big that the mountains get swallowed up by the sea. He is saying that in the worst disaster we can imagine, God is sufficient as our refuge. He is sufficient as our strength, so that we need not be terrified. There's no reason for us to be in fear. Whatever personal calamity, this calamity that you and I are facing today as a nation, or it could be something personal, a major health problem, or the death of a loved one, the loss of your job, emotional problems, relational conflicts, or whatever. Beloved, God is bigger than your problems. Amen? He is readily available to help if you will take refuge in Him and trust in His strength. Those who have experienced them can identify with the psalmist's fears. He feels weak, totally helpless, as the earth beneath him shifts, rolls, or even slides. His belongings instantly become insignificant, and life seems dreadfully insecure. Even so, the songwriter declares, "I will not fear." Do you find yourself in the same position as the psalmists have declared? I will not fear. Why? Why would the psalmist, "I will not fear"? How could anyone in such a threatening situation say that? Are you able to say that? Can you really say confidently and boldly, "I will not fear"? Why? I mean, if you look back to verse 1 for the answer, because God, our Heavenly Father, is our immediate helper. He is our immutable, ever-present source of strength. He is your refuge. He is my refuge in the midst of calamity, in the midst of trials and hardship and affliction. The psalmist resolved to reject fear in the face of overwhelming circumstances, but not on sheer willpower. He chose to view every situation as incapable of harm compared to the sovereign care of the Almighty, awesome Lord. My beloved, if God is greater than the dangers we face, why do we continue to respond from a place of fear? Do you understand that? You know that God is faithful. You know that God is greater than the troubles, than the calamities that we find ourselves in. Why still do we continue to respond from a place of fear? So in what ways can you cultivate a greater confidence in the Lord's care? 2 Timothy chapter 1 verse 7 says this: "For God has not given us a spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of sound mind." Paul was confident in God. In Romans chapter 8 verse 38 and 39 tells us this: "For I am persuaded," this is what Paul says, "For I am persuaded that neither death nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor powers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor height, nor depth, nor any other creature shall be able to separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus our Lord." Church, what confidence that Paul has to the God who is able. So the lesson here, church, is that you and I need to resolve to reject fear. Yes, we don't understand the situation. We don't understand this calamity that we find ourselves in. But you and I need to cultivate this greater confidence in the Lord. So when you look at these three verses, we cherish and confess these words, like He is our refuge, He is our strength, He is our help in time of trouble. As we cherish those, we confess these words, but in practice, we look many other places for our shelter and refuge. Some, or perhaps everyone here, I hope not. We trust our financial security. We trust our physical strength. We trust our mastery of skills, our education, our wisdom, our smarts, our association, our friendships. We even trust our government, the military, or we trust our doctor, the goodness of others. We trust our experience. It is much easier to trust what we can see than to trust the one who is unseen. However, the psalmist reminds us that the things of this world are all subject to the same threats as we are. So let that. Think about those things. Consider these things. I want you to know at the end of verse 3, the psalmist says, Selah. This word means to pause a moment, to think it over and let all sink in. Let it sink in, church. Think it over. Think that God is your refuge. Think, let it sink in that He is your strength and that He is your help in times of trouble. And the second thing I want us to see, so that number one is that God is our refuge, too, that God is our deliverer, that God in our midst. The scene shifts into the city of Jerusalem in verses 4 through 7, where the people are confined because of the Assyrian army camp around them. Water was a precious commodity in Palestine, especially in Jerusalem, one of the few ancient cities not built on a river. Wisely, King Hezekiah had built an underground water system that connected the spring of Gihon in Kidron with the pool of Siloam within the city, so water was available. And you can see that in 2 Kings chapter 20, verse 20, and 2 Chronicles chapter 32, verse 30. Can I tell you that when I was in Israel a couple of weeks ago, I was able to experience, to walk through the Hezekiah's tunnel. How amazing experience it was. But here the psalmist knew that God was their river and provided them with the water of life. That little stream supplied all of their needs during the siege. That river is a picture of the greater spiritual resource of the Lord Himself. Verse 5 says, God is in the midst of her. She will not be moved. God is the living water who alone can quench our spiritual thirst. He is the God who is powerful enough to quell the uproar of the nations by simply raising His voice in verse 6. In John chapter 4, verse 14, Jesus told the woman at the well, whoever drinks of the water that I shall give him shall never thirst. But the water I shall give him shall become in him a well of water springing up to eternal life. Jesus also said in John chapter 7, verse 37 and 38, if any man is thirsty, let him come to me and drink. He who believes in me, as the scripture said, from his innermost being shall flow rivers of living water. He was referring to the Holy Spirit who is given to every believer. And the city of God is the subject there in verse 4. This is a reference to the Jews' beloved Jerusalem. As you read over this inspired stanzas, you quickly discover that the city is under attack. Nations and kingdoms have risen up against Israel's capital city and laid siege to the walls. Yet she shall not be moved. The reason is clearly stated in the first part of verse 5. God is in the midst of her. Verse 7 continues, "The Lord of hosts is with us. The God of Jacob is our stronghold." Jerusalem was a well-defended city, set high on a mountaintop, surrounded by difficult terrain, protected by high, thick walls. Still, the psalmist did not consider embattlements and structures to be their source of safety. When he felt most powerless, he looked beyond his physical protection to find comfort in God's presence. He credited the indwelling, omnipotent presence of God. Do you remember that account in the book of Mark, chapter 4, verse 35 through 41? Of the trip Jesus and his disciples made across the Sea of Galilee. So turn with me to Mark chapter 4, verse 35. Mark 4, verse 35. "On that day when evening had come, he said to them, 'Let us go across to the other side.' And leaving the crowd, they took him with them in the boat just as he was. And other boats were with him, and a great windstorm arose, and the waves were breaking into the boat, so that the boat was already filling. But he was in the stern, asleep on the cushion, and they woke him and said to him, 'Teacher, do you not care that we are perishing?' And he awoke and rebuked the wind and said to the sea, 'Peace, be still.' And the wind ceased, and there was a great calm. He said to them, 'Why are you so afraid? Have you still no faith?' And they were filled with great fear and said to one another, 'Who then is this that even the wind and the sea obey him?'" You see, church, they were gripped with thoughts of their own personal weakness. They woke Jesus and questioned how he could sleep at a time like that. After calming the wind and the sea, Jesus rebuked the disciples for their lack of faith. How could they sink? Why would they ever fear? They had God in the boat with them. The boat would never sink as long as God was in it. They should not have been moved, for the Lord himself was in their midst. I mean, that's amazing. A perfect illustration of Psalm 46, verse 5. I mean, look also at the term "move" in verse 5. It literally means to falter or shake. Do you realize that from the moment the Lord Jesus Christ became the Lord and Savior of your life, he has been living within you? In fact, Christ is called your life in Colossians chapter 3, verse 4. Colossians 3, verse 4. "The hope of glory is Christ in you." If you have placed your trust in Jesus Christ, you have the Lord God within you. He is in your midst. Therefore, with him present, there is no reason to stumble. God is not going to stagger and shake, nor is his dwelling place. So the next time you are tempted to panic, focus on the fact that God is literally in your midst. He is in your midst, church. There's no reason for us to panic. Despite of all these people are feeling the fear and the panic of this pandemic. My beloved, I want to encourage you, don't panic. Focus on the fact that God is literally in your midst. What measures have you taken to ensure your provision and protection in the event of emergency? Like today, like these past few days, this week. I mean, what measures have you taken to ensure your provision and protection in the event of emergency? That's why you see all the stores, their shops are empty. The people are running and making those other provision and protection in their in the event of their emergency. And those toilet papers perhaps could offer some peace of mind, but nothing is fail-safe. Let me ask you this question. How can you develop greater confidence in the power of God living within? How? When bad things happen, how does this affect your trust in God's provision and protection? I hope that my prayer that your provision and your protection will not be in those temporal things, but rather that you will sense that you will increase your confidence in the power of God living within you. That He is your, that He will provide, that He will protect you in the midst of your affliction, in the midst of your trials. So number one, God is our refuge. Number two, He's our deliverer. Number three and last, He's our peace. In verse 8 through 11. Turn with me again to the book of Psalm chapter 46. Psalm 46. Verse 8 through 11. Come, behold the works of the Lord, how He has brought desolations on the earth. He makes war cease to the ends of the earth. He breaks the bow and shatters the spear. He burns the chariots with fire. Verse 10. Listen to this. Be still and know that I am God. I will be exalted among the nations. I will be exalted in the earth. The Lord of hosts is with us. The God of Jacob is our fortress. So number three, He is our peace. I will not strive, I will cease striving. The third scene is on the field surrounding Jerusalem where the Assyrian soldiers lay dead, their weapons and equipment scattered and broken. There had been no battle, but the angel of the Lord left this evidence behind to encourage the fate of the people. Just come and see the amazing things, this desolations the Lord has made. The Lord defeated and disarmed His enemies and destroy their weapons, and they could attack no more. God now speaks a direct prophetic as He brings peace to the earth, so He brings peace to the heart. We can experience now that eschatological reality. Just be still and know that I am God. To know that God is to experience Him in the quiet of our hearts. This is relational, not merely theological knowledge. It is letting God's peace settle down upon us. It is knowing Him as our security. It is knowing Him as our stability in the storm. God has a powerful truth for us to hear. We do not handle our stressful situations by fighting against them. Instead, my beloved, God calls us to be at rest in Him. To the psalmist, this meant being still and knowing God. To the apostle Peter, it meant refusing to carry burdens not meant for him. In 1 Peter chapter 5, verse 7 says, casting all your care upon Him, for He cares for you. Do you understand that? When was the last time you cast all your cares on Him, knowing that He cares for you? In Matthew 11, 28 through 30, if you open your Bible, then how our Savior Jesus Christ described it as a peacefulness. In Matthew 11, verse 28, and it's an invitation. Jesus Christ invites us to experience this peacefulness that we both find and receive as we spend time learning from Him. In Matthew 11 says, verse 28, come to Me, all who labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and lowly in heart. And you will find rest for your souls, for my yoke is easy and my burden is light. Our human instinct demands for us to escape, but God calls us to draw near and absorb the truths of Scripture. James reminds us this, church. Draw near to God and He will draw near to you. In verse 10, you see a command. The command is to cease us or even stop striving. It comes from the Hebrew imperative verb meaning to sink down or let drop, or the word relax. The Hebrew simply uses one term in that command, and it means stop. Stop. What a great directive. Stop. But it's the Lord who is speaking at this moment. Go back to verse 10 in Psalm 46. Be still and know that I am God. This is God speaking. He says, stop it, stop it. Stop that worrying. Stop feeling anxious. Quit it. What he is saying is, I am your refuge. I'm your very present help in time of trouble. Your worry implies that I am not here anymore. But I never left. That's what God is telling us in the midst of our trial. Says, be still. Literally means take your hands off. Relax. Relax. Now we like to be hands-on. People and manage our own lives. But God is God and we are but His servants. Because King Hezekiah and his leaders allowed God to be God. He delivered them from their enemies. That was the way King Hezekiah had prayed. Now therefore, O Lord our God, I pray save us from his hand, that all of the kingdoms of the earth may know that you are the Lord God. You are alone. 2 Kings chapter 19, verse 19. The Lord called himself the God of Jacob. And we remember how often Jacob got into trouble because he got his hands on circumstances and tried to play God. There's a time to obey God and act, but until then, we had better take our hands off and allow him to work in his own time and in his own way. If we seize his promises by faith with both hands, we won't be able to meddle. Now you see why Psalm 46 speaks with such relevance in times of physical calamity. Since God is our refuge, since God is our deliverer, we will not fear. Amen? I'll respond to this message is this, I will not fear. With coronavirus, COVID-19, since God is our refuge, we will not be moved. With a future that seems uncertain, we will not worry. We will not fear. Because God is our refuge. He is our deliverer. Can I ask you this question? Do you live in strife and panic? No, just be honest. Assess your own heart, With all the things that's going on in our world today, and what you see on TV, what you read on social media, do you live in strife and panic? Is there a fretful spirit about you? Have your self-protective attempts caused more than harm than good? Do you know that God wants to give you rest? Despite of this turmoil, God wants to give you rest. Hebrews chapter 4 verse 9 promises, so there remains a Sabbath rest for the people of God. In response to your realization of personal weakness, God has called you, God has called me to cease striving, to end the continuous chaotic grind, to overcome difficulties too big for you and I. Does this mean we should slip into neutral and do nothing? It means we first enter that rest He has provided in Hebrews 4:11, and then face the situation without panic or strife. If He wants us involved, He will give our minds clarity, removing any doubt as to what we should do. My beloved, our responsibility, my responsibility, your responsibility is to enter deliberately, is to enter intentionally into His invincible sanctuary of rest, to trust Him completely for safety and provision. That is our best preparation for this calamity that we find ourselves, this battle that we find ourselves in today. To trust Him completely for safety and provision. Do you trust Him? Do you trust Him completely with your safety and your provision? We are to be filled and surrounded by His Sabbath rest. It is amazing what that does to stop the grind of personal weakness. If the foundations are in place, if we have the Lord God as our refuge, if we have the Lord God as our strength, the righteous do not fear. The righteous are not moved, and the righteous cannot worry. God never leaves us alone. In the darkest moments of life, in the most challenging circumstances, God is with us. He is our strength and stronghold. He is our refuge for us. What an amazing reality that you and I are not alone right now. He is with us. He understands the situations that we're in. So how do you respond when life is uncertain? How do you respond when life is uncertain? I mean, do you understand what's going on with this pandemic? So how do you respond with uncertainty? How do you deal with uncertainty? Can I encourage you from what we see in Psalm 46? We simply stop. We become still. We pray. We ask for God's help. We remember that He is God and that we are not. And we trust Him to be our mighty fortress. We trust Him to bring new mercies and to work His power on our behalf, whatever it takes. We remember that He is God and that He is more than enough. And then we ask Him for help to trust Him more through the uncertainty and pain, and to give us more of Himself in the uncertainty and pain. God is our refuge. God is our strength. And so, church, be still and know that He is God. You can run to Him. Cry out to Him. Know that He cares about you. Do you see Him? That He is more than sufficient to your problems, to your situation. Oh, I pray, church, that you would see Him, that you would see God, that He is your refuge, that He is your strength, that He is your help in times of trouble. Let us pray. Our gracious Father, I pray for brothers and sisters right now who are walking through trials, who are walking through suffering, who are walking through difficulty, especially in this time that we find ourselves in this pandemic of coronavirus. God, I pray that in their weakness, you would be their strength, that you would be their refuge. God, I pray that as they're surrounded in all sides, that you would be their stronghold. God, I pray as they are tired, as they are weak, as they are hurting, God, I would pray that you would be their refuge. Be refuge for them in the middle, in the midst of their trouble. God, we praise you. We worship you. That you are all these things for your people. We praise you that you don't leave us alone, that you're always there, that you are in the midst of us. So we thank you for giving us your Son. We thank you for your Spirit that is within us. God, I pray. Lord, in what we are facing today as a society, in our nation, in different part of the world, God, that people would see you as their refuge, that they would run to you, that they truly understand that you are their stronghold. God, be our strength, be our stronghold, be our refuge in the day of trouble. And I pray for all these things, that we would make much of your Son, our Savior, Jesus Christ. That we would live by faith and not with fear. So we bless you. Thank you, Father, for the love that you give to us. Thank you for your faithfulness and how you allow us to go through these things, knowing, Father, that you're with us. I pray for all these things in the precious name of our Savior, Jesus Christ. And everyone said, amen and amen.